Lesson 6. The Work of the Holy Spirit. Dependence on the Holy Spirit. When we do our best to receive ministry training and learn methods, there is a danger that we will depend on human abilities for ministry. But, as the Apostle Paul said, we are not sufficient in ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Paul said that he did not preach with human wisdom or by depending on human persuasion, but that he depended on the demonstration of the Holy Spirit so that the hearer's faith would not be based on human wisdom, but on God. 1 Corinthians 2, 4-5. Paul was educated, but he did not expect his knowledge and skill to produce spiritual results. Writing to the Thessalonians, Paul said, "Our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction." 1 Thessalonians 1:5. They were convinced by the gospel because of the power of God. Jesus promised the apostles that the Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 16:8. Jesus said that nobody could come to him unless the Father attracted them. John 6:44. Some aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit. He convicts the unconverted sinner, John 16:8. He gives spiritual life to one dead in sin, John 3:5, Ephesians 2:1. He identifies the believer, Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30. He commissions the believer, Acts 13:2 and 4. He empowers the commissioned believer, Acts 1:8. He teaches the believer, John 14:26, John 16:13, 1 John 2:27. He leads the believer, Galatians 5:25. He enables believers to put to death the deeds of the body, Romans 8:13. Something to think about. How does dependence on the Holy Spirit guide our approach to evangelism? What do we do differently because we depend on the Holy Spirit? The value of training. We are called to communicate God's truth. We should communicate the best we can to be understood. We should not think that because we depend on the Holy Spirit, we should not develop our abilities through training. Paul said that he tried to persuade people, 2 Corinthians 5:11. He told Timothy to study to be able to rightly communicate God's truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. One of the qualifications of a bishop is that he have ability to teach, 2 Timothy 2:24. Apollos was highly effective as an evangelist. He is described as eloquent, powerful in the scripture, and fervent in spirit, Acts 18:25-26. His natural abilities, in connection with spiritual gifts, made him a great blessing. The Apostle Peter tells us to always be prepared to explain the hope of the gospel, 1 Peter 3:15. These scriptures tell us that God will bless and use natural abilities and training if we are devoted to his purposes. He calls us to devote our strength and ability to his work. The filling of the Spirit. In Acts 1, 4-5, Jesus told the disciples to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which he called the promise of the Father. This event would include an enduement of power that would make them worldwide witnesses, Acts 1:8. Even though the disciples had been converted, they had an inner need that had to be met before they would be ready for ministry without the physically visible leadership of Jesus. Even 3 years of training by the greatest teacher had not fully prepared them, for this inner problem remained. Before they could have a ministry empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit, as God planned, they needed to have a specific need in the heart met by a special work of the Holy Spirit. The problem had shown itself on various occasions during the 3 years of training. They were sometimes vindictive in attitude, as when they wanted to call down fire on people who rejected them. Luke 9:54-55. They were sometimes proudly sectarian, as when they forbade a man to minister who was not authorized by them. Mark 9, 38. They were selfish and proudly ambitious, as when two asked for high positions and were resented by the others, Mark 10, 35-41. They argued about which of them was the greatest, Mark 9, 33-34. The fact that they were ashamed of it when Jesus asked what they had been talking about shows that they were conscious that their motives should have been better. At their last meal together, Jesus washed the disciples' feet and told them to have the same attitude of servanthood that he was demonstrating, John 13, 14. They did not yet have this kind of humility. They had refused to serve one another that same evening. The problem was not a lack of knowledge, but pride. Jesus told them that they should have love that would be strong enough for them to give their lives for one another, John 15, 12-13. They thought they had this love, but did not, for they fled at the arrest of Jesus, even though they had claimed that they would face death with him, Mark 14, 31 and 50. These were the men who would have the responsibility of leading and expanding the church without the physical presence of Christ. Jesus knew that they were not ready for this ministry until their internal need was met, so he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father, Acts 1, 4-5. This promise is identified with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was so necessary that they were not to proceed with establishing and advancing the church without it. He didn't tell them that what they needed was more training, nor a long process of growth. They were to wait in Jerusalem for a spiritual crisis, climax, to occur. The experience of the disciples on the day of Pentecost is described as a filling of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, 4. Although many things happened at that event, Peter later indicated that the essential work of the Spirit was that he purified their hearts, Acts 15, 8-9. This was the need of the disciples. All of the evidences of their inner need pointed to a problem in the heart, inherited depravity, of which they needed to be purified. When this purification occurred by the baptism or filling of the Holy Spirit, they no longer considered their own safety or promotion to be the main goal. The event on the day of Pentecost launched the church into an era of powerful evangelism. The church joyfully and triumphantly advanced in spite of doctrinal disagreements, Judaizers' heresies, internal complaints, hypocrites, demonic resistance, persecution, and hardships. A believer may have the same need that the disciples had. This need can be met by an infilling of the Holy Spirit. That is not to say, 1. That a believer does not have the Holy Spirit until he receives this special filling. 2. That none of the works of the Holy Spirit occur in the believer until this filling occurs. 3. That there is no type of filling of the Spirit besides this one that cleanses the heart. 4. That every person who has this filling of the Spirit will have an apostolic ministry. We should not assume that our experience will be exactly like the experience of the disciples. However, the need of cleansing of the heart and empowerment for ministry is still important for us. From the example of the disciples, we can see 1. That if a person has this need, he is not fully prepared for ministry or holy living. 2. That God does not want to leave a person in this condition. 3. That the solution is not training or long-term spiritual growth. 4. That it is possible for this need to be met in a moment, after proper seeking. How can a believer receive this work of the Holy Spirit? Peter said that it was received by faith, Acts 15, 8-9. Jesus prepared the disciples to have faith by giving them a promise and creating expectation. Therefore, if a person sees his need and sees God's willingness to meet it, he can receive this grace by faith.